Amen. As you can tell, Libby is a force to be reckoned with. And you want to be on her team. And we're proud of her and all that has been coming about so far. I like that. There is no junior Holy Spirit. Amen. There's only one. And he blesses our kids as well as we ourselves. We're in John chapter 15 this morning. Last year about this time, I got a call from our missionaries, Denny Seller and his wife. And Denny has a very unique ministry. His budget was ailing, and he asked if New Life couldn't help out a little bit. Apparently, airfare has skyrocketed over the last couple of years. And since he gained his budget and figured it all out, the costs have gone up. And Denny flies into places like Bolivia, and he'll do a week's worth of training for the pastors there. He teaches on a master's level course, and he'll fly into Bolivia for a week, then he'll go over to Argentina for another week and so on. Does a lot of traveling, does a lot of teaching and so on. But he was, as we were chatting, he said he had recently been in Ecuador. Anybody visit Ecuador? We have any Ecuadorian veterans there. He visited the place of the absolute equator, ground zero on the equator. And he said, you might not know this, but in the northern hemisphere, when water goes down a drain, you ever notice that it circles when it goes down the drain? In the northern hemisphere, it circles counterclockwise. In the southern hemisphere, it circles clockwise. And on the equator itself, it goes straight down. So if you visit this site, you'll see a few feet north, they have three different drains going, and you'll see it going counterclockwise, you'll see it going straight down, and you'll see it going clockwise. Isn't that odd? Now, another oddity about the equator is you will weigh your lightest at the equator. The further away from the equator you get, the heavier you are. At the poles, the average person weighs about 4.5 pounds heavier than at the equator. So if you want to lose some weight, move south. Maybe that's why everybody goes to Florida when they get to be about my age. So where you are makes a big difference. Where you are makes a big... This morning we're going to talk about where you are attached. John chapter 15... The first four verses. Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Father, it's a pretty simple concept, but kind of hard to live out. And I find myself living this in different degrees, this attachment that I have to you. And what all of us want this morning is to be closer drawn to you, to be more in tune with you. We're all familiar with relationships that sometimes are stronger than others. And Lord, we want this to be ongoing, us and you. We don't want to be those people who, well, I got saved back in whenever. But we want it to be current. We want your juice flowing through our veins. We want to be an extension of you in this world. So help us with the word today to make some adjustments, to shore up whatever might be lacking, to tie up whatever might have drifted. And we'll thank you for your help here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I couldn't quote it all to you today, but several times in my life I've memorized John chapter 15. It's just an awesome portion of Scripture. But with all that memorizing that I did, I never realized until I studied for this message one simple fact, and that is that these first four verses are actually repeated again and again throughout the rest of the chapter. If you get the concepts in the first four verses, it's elaborated upon in the rest of it and so on. But it's basically, all the elements are right here at the beginning. And Jesus thought it important enough not only to state it to us, but to restate it and restate it again, and to put a different angle on it so that we really get this, that we understand we can't do anything of any value unless we're attached to Him. The only good in me is Jesus Christ. Can you say that honestly? Do you know that in your own heart and mind? You know what? Apart from Him, I'm no good. And whatever has developed in me that has been better through the ages, it's been because of His influence on me and in me. I need Him. I don't know if you're ever tempted. You're probably a lot more spiritual than I am. But there are times I just kind of like doing life on my own. Sometimes I'm even kind of like, don't bother me right now, Lord. You know, I'm having a little downtime or whatever. You ever get that way? Shame on you and me. And you know, but we need Him. And usually whatever blocks me from Him and has me push Him away a little bit is a lie. You know, look, I just need some downtime. I just need to rest. Well, there is no better rest than in Him. I found out that He jogs well, that He works well, He fixes things well, He recreates well, He vacations really well. We need to be attached in order for good to flow in and through us. Well, the first thing He does in these verses is He gives us the cast. These are the characters in this metaphor. Jesus Himself is the vine. This is the place where all the juice flows through and from. The Father is the gardener. He really likes to cut things. And you and I, we're the branches. So on the branches grow the fruit. We're to be fruitful. And we need to be attached to the vine. The fruit grows on us, we grow on the vine. The gardener, his attention is on the branches. He takes care of the branches. And he has two jobs that he does. First of all, if he finds any branch that isn't bearing any fruit, he lops it off. They're gone. And if he finds a branch that is bearing fruit, he prunes it so that it'll be even more fruitful. So, he's into cutting. And pruning doesn't feel good in the moment, but you know what does feel good? Bearing a lot of fruit. The fruit brings joy. It brings a growth. It's blessing to yourself and to others and to all of your relationships. And we learn in here, if we don't bear any fruit, there's no reason for us to be here. There's no reason for us to be in Christ. It's just a natural thing. Now, He doesn't keep us around just so because He wants our fruit. He loves us. But part of that flow of Him through us, we just naturally get better. And we develop and we mature. Only branches that are abiding in the vine bear fruit. And only branches not abiding there are fruitless. You will produce if you are in Christ. Now, I don't know any believers who don't question their own fruitfulness. I don't know any believers that don't sit around saying, you know, I feel like a slacker. I'm not returning to God what He's pouring into me. I don't think I've developed as much as so-and-so has. And I look at what this one does, and I look what that one, how they worship and so on. I just feel kind of lame in all this thing. You ever feel that way? Shame on you and me. But that's life. So I thought it might be helpful to define what fruit is. How do I know if I'm fruitful if I don't know, you know, what these fruits are? So first of all, the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're bearing fruit, you're going to be bearing these things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, self-control. All of that is fruit. Are you becoming more patient? Don't ask your spouse, because they've got a different angle on it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness, faith, self-control. Do you have a better attitude than you used to have? Is your attitude improving? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the world is to trash our attitude. Have you listened to the news lately? They must be working on it big time, overtime these days. But if you're listening to a different frequency, if you're believing the Word of God, if you're trusting in the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on either your own or the world's understanding, He's going to be fortifying you. He's going to be bringing you to better things. So the fruit of the Spirit, how are you doing with your attitude? Now, I know at any given moment you might fail the test, but overall and generally speaking, are we growing in that? The Bible also calls our praise and our worship the fruit of our lips. That is our sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they used to bring animals to sacrifice. In the New Testament, it's the words that come from our mouth. This is our worship and our praise, the fruit of our lips. Are you a worshiper? Now, we come from many different backgrounds in this church. And depending on where you were raised and what you were taught, I was raised in a Pentecostal church. And so if you were worshiping, you were clapping your hands, you were raising your hands. My heart, when I was a kid, it was nothing to see somebody just take off up and down the aisle a couple of times, a hooting and a hollering for all it was worth. For us, that was a normal Sunday. Very smooth transition if you ever have to go into mental health care in the ward. But, you know, that just was. But I know friends of mine who have come into the Lord, but they were raised in a church where that would be disgusting if somebody was to act like that. How irreverent. We honor God with our silence. Well, you know what? It's not really about my background. It's about, what does the Bible say about worship? And the Bible says, thou shalt run up and down the aisles shouting. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say, remember what Libby quoted to us? So, shout. Give the Lord a shout. Every once in a while, you need to give the Lord a shout. And an amen is very appropriate. A hallelujah every once in a while. And it doesn't matter whether the rest of the body likes it or not. You're being biblical. And not only in the body, but outside in the world. To give the Lord a good shout. Praise and worship. Learn how to do it. We have some folk who've been coming to our church for years and they're still resistant. I've heard people say, well, you know, I really felt like raising my hands. What's that all about? Boy, I caught myself just in time. No. Go ahead. Let it go. It doesn't matter what the person next to you thinks about you. Catch this one. It doesn't matter what you think about you. Get over yourself. Because it ain't about you. Worship ain't about you. Oh, I'm so great. And I'm so, No. Lord, you are worthy. I give you my worship. I lift my hands in honor of you. Wouldn't do that for anybody else, but I do for you. Hallelujah. I notice how the world has picked up on this. We Pentecostals were lifting our hands in worship long before the world started. Lift your hands up, you know, and to the beat of whatever's going on or what have you. But it is an act of worship. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've ever you've ever done, I just thought about this right now. You haven't seen your grandkids for a while or somebody that's a good friend of yours. What do you do when you see them? Hey! Oh, where you been? Don't you? Isn't that a natural? Oh, Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. We exalt in you. We bless you. Are you a worshiper? Please practice. Change your radio station if you have to. The oldies isn't going to get you there. You need something with some oomph to it, some good gospel music, and just worship the Lord. Praise and worship, that's fruit. If you're growing in worship, you're bearing good fruit. Of course, good works. Do things because your heart's right. Not because somebody else is watching or you want to check it off for the day. I was a Boy Scout, you know, do a good deed every day. Okay, got that. No. But do you care about people so that when you're walking past, you can't help but stop and get involved? I was in Walmart this week. I'm in Walmart every day. But on this particular day, I was looking for some, cushions for inside my running shoes. And there was this lady parked in front of where I wanted to be. And so I went past, and I went past, and I went past. Stupid old lady, get what you want and move on, you know. Well, she did leave, and so I was parked in front of it for a while. And then she came back around. And then I don't know how we got started talking, but you could tell she was a little challenged. And before long, I was trying to help her find what she was looking for. And I thought, that's Jesus in me. Joel was ready to kick her out of Walmart. But Jesus wanted to help her and make sure she got to what she wanted and needed. And, you know, sometimes you go past somebody that's in need and you feel guilty for not having helped them because you're, thank God you feel guilty over that. And thank God for all the times you do stop and you do help. And, hey, can I help? I was walking the dog a month or two ago, and this guy had a sliding glass door on the back of his pickup truck, and he was getting ready to take it off, and I said, can I help you with that? And he said, well, I was going to have my wife, the tiniest little wife you've ever seen in your life, and she had a baby in one hand, and I thought, dear Lord, I said, if she'll hold the dog for a second, I'll help you with the thing, you know, just. And I was pleased I had my Expect Jesus shirt on. I didn't have to say anything. It was just on display. But, you know, good works is wonderful fruit. Don't be all about yourself and self-centered, but be caring about other people. That's a wonderful way. And we've been, you know, taking it in, Barb and I, I hate to be a person who needs help. I would rather do it myself. One of these days, you're going to find me buried under something I tried to move that I knew I shouldn't have been moving. My wife would have told me, you shouldn't move that on yourself, but that's how I'm going to die one of these days. But you folk have been so kind and gracious with the food and the visits and everything else. I hate to say it, but I kind of like being the guy in need. It's been pretty good. But we love to serve, and God shows up, and then, of course, witnessing. When you get a chance to lead somebody to Christ, that's wonderful. But just witnessing the goodness of God. Isn't the weather beautiful? I talk to people and I said, thank God. I always follow it up with a thank God. And, you know, oh, yeah, that's right. I'll often get that comment in response. But he is worthy of praise. And if anybody's going to take credit for the weather, it's got to be God. And so we might as well give him thanks for that. But just reminding people. I like when people put those little signs out at the end of their lane and has a scripture on it about this or that. Just reminds us while we're going down the highway something about the Lord. And that's good. Keep with that's fruit. Does your life express Christ and God wherever you go? And I noticed that, you know, I've changed my language from when I was younger. I used to talk one way in church and another way at school. Not that I was ever a curse. I was never a curse or anything like that. But I was careful not to use my church language at school. And now it doesn't make any difference. I'll give you a hallelujah in the middle of the gym. I'll say praise the Lord. I'll say thank God. God bless you. Whatever. I've I've learned to be one person, at least I'm trying to be, wherever I'm at, all at the same time. Let your words express your grace in Christ. And then I think also, the more you're in Christ, the more you see the world through his eyes, to feel the way he feels about what's going on. I just read a verse of scripture, I think I'm in Hebrews right now, I think it's in Hebrews, where the writer had expressed God's anger and wrath at the rebellion of people. It must be in Hebrews, because he said, I have said on oath, you will never enter my rest. He had good people that came out and we had faith in him and everything, but they would not follow along. They kept going after idols and false gods and so on. And God finally put up his hand and said, that's it. You are not going to the promised land. I promise on oath, you will never see the promise. And the writer of Hebrews was warning us, be careful how you treat God. You don't want to be trivial with his things, because you don't want to miss the promised land. You want to make sure that you enter in. And this, have you noticed this world is trying to change our thinking about everything? You know, they'll call you a hypocrite. They'll call you bigoted. They'll call you narrow-minded, so on and so forth, because they want you to think their way, that perversion is straight and straight is perverted, that up is down and down is up, and that right is wrong and wrong is right. They're working on us right now. You need to know that. And you need to know that it's all right not to drink their Kool-Aid. In fact, it's necessary that you do not follow their line of reasoning. I'm sorry, but I'm not saying that. I'm not going along with that. That's wrong. And I believe that when we feel like God feels, that's fruit. Because I know people who, before they knew God, they were flowing right with the world. But since they've come to Christ, their thinking has changed. They've been renewed in their thinking and the way they feel about things. Things they used to love, they now can't stand. And vice versa. And we need to allow that. Remember, Lot was grieved in his righteous spirit day after day as he saw how the people were acting there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we have to be careful about our feelings. Jesus said, if we abide in him, if we remain in him, we'll bear much fruit. So if we're not bearing fruit, where's the problem? Oh, I need to try harder. I need to trip myself. I need to write my lip until I'm ready to. No, you just need more of Jesus. The more you are with Jesus, the more you will be like him. It's like, I don't know if you have a friend that uses a lot of cologne or a lot of perfume, and you're with them for a while and you can still smell them after they're out of the room for a while. You shook hands with them, whoo, and all that. Well, when you're with Jesus, you begin to smell like him. You begin to act like him, and your heart will change. You will have compassion. You will have care. You see, we won't bear fruit trying to be fruitful. We'll only bear fruit abiding in Jesus. More of him. And this is you're not going to believe this until you try it for yourself, but it works. If you will spend more time with Jesus, you will be more fruitful in the rest of your existence. I spend more time now in prayer than ever before, and I feel like I'm getting more done in a day's time. It's just a mystery. It's just a miracle that works. Fruit is evidence that you have been with Jesus. So how is it that so many branches look fruitful when, in fact, they're not connected to Jesus? Well, there's a lot of hypocrisy that goes on. Some people want to make you think that they're abiding in Christ when that doesn't happen to be the case. Some people are gifted by the Lord and they use their gifts well, but they're kind of hollow inside. For some people, it's just like a costume party. Oh, I'm going to church, and so I'll put on my Christian persona for now. And then when they're somewhere else, they're acting like something else. I had an experience not too long ago where somebody was cluing me in on some, what I thought were friends of mine, who, while they were with us here at the church, they acted all in and said very nice things to me, about me, and all of that. But they said, well, now that they're not coming anymore, they're just breathing out, you know, those people are no good, and that pastor, and this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, I wouldn't want to be, and I try to be very careful what I say about different evangelists and so on. I don't want to be that person that's putting a black mark on the body of Christ. And I try to, more as I get older, talk more lovingly about other churches and denominations and so on. I want to be careful about that. Because who knows if the person they're talking to wasn't considering going to church. But no, when they are, oh yeah, I heard that about, I was thinking about it, but I'm glad you said that because now not gonna. I don't want to be guilty of that. I'm sure I am, have put a black mark here or there, but I want to be careful as I grow in Christ to be more a fountain of blessing than of cursing. Then there are those people, of course, that they kind of do both at the same time. They'll build you up and they'll tear you down. They'll be one way and another way, and it kind of spins your head and all. But we want to have a pure, we want our fruit to be good. Thorns and figs don't grow on the same tree. You get one or the other. And we want our fruit to be good. We want to be pure before the Lord. Now, if you're attached to a vine and you find a rash breaks out, that's probably poison oak. That's probably not the right vine. And we're branches. We're attached to someone somewhere. We're all attaching ourselves all the time. We can't help it. We're like leeches. And everything we attach ourselves to, if we like a series on the television, we don't think we're drinking it all in. I just want to drink in this part. I'm not really drinking that. No, you're taking it in. And you know, who you pal around with, you're sucking it in. Anybody ever say something outrageous to you and you think that's really stupid and nobody would ever believe that, but later on you think it over again? Well, maybe, you know, because we're leeches and we gain from whoever and whatever we're taking in, and we got to be careful. Now, I want to be attached to Jesus. I want in his word. I want to know what God thinks about it. I want to feel the way God feels. I want to care about the things God cares about. And when we start to develop that, and don't think that you can be attached to a couple different vines all at the same time. Well, I'll get my main source here, but I need a little bit from over there. You ever see a branch that was connected to two trees? You ever see that? That's not possible. That's not possible. My uncle taught me a little bit about grafting branches onto trees and so on, but we never did one between two trees. You got to choose your tree. You got to serve somebody. And what the Bible is telling us in their text is, you know what? Forget the world. Choose Jesus Christ. I have decided to follow him. And if you're fruitful, you're going to get pruned. It's not going to be an easy thing. Life is not a breeze for anybody. But if you're having a struggle from time to time, what is that? The Father's got the pruning shears out. You know, you had to put your dog down. Ow, that really hurts. You lost somebody that you love. You didn't get the promotion at work. The neighbor is going nuts. Prune, 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 prune. But God's going to use that in your life, and you're going to grow thereby. Would you stand with me this morning? Here I am waiting for you. Thank you. about eagle's wings. That'd be great. Maybe we can at least get to the pigeon level. Take us further than we've been, God. Help us do better than we have. Help us to be of a better quality. Lord, not show quality, not I want everybody to think this and that. Oh, I want to be in Christ. Lord, I wanted this to work in the middle of the night. I want this to show up when I'm having a conversation with the guys. I want to glow in the dark for Jesus Christ. You know, Lord, the older I get, the more I know I only got a little bit of time left. And I've got a family to influence. I not only have kids now, I got grandkids. And Lord, I don't want to just be Santa Claus at Christmas time. And, you know, the wife made sure they got a good gift on their birthday. And we always got food for them when they show up. That's all great stuff. But oh my, oh Lord God, I want them to see Jesus in me in such a way that they want that too. I want it to be natural. I want it to be strong. And Lord, not just for my kids, but everybody else's kids too. And all the people along the street and folk that I interact with. Please, God, I can see that it would be easy to look back on your life and wonder, what was that about? There was pain, there was suffering, there were dramatic times. And I can see that there's some gold nuggets. There's some gold nuggets, and those are the ones that count. The ones that shine Jesus, the ones that were about you. So, Lord, forgive us for a lot of wasted time and such. But this morning, give us a fresh anointing. Abide in us. Teach us this week. Bring this sermon back to mind each day and help us, Lord God, to seek you out more and more, to quit putting you off and making excuses. And inviting you in now to the quiet times, to the alone times, to the whatever. And we'll thank you for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.